Hello?
Hello?
Adam joined?
Hello, Alex from Singapore.
Yeah. So is it time to get started, perhaps? No, people are joining.
Hi, Stefan. It's Milan Patel from Huawei.
Hi, welcome. So maybe we should try to get started. It's 4 minutes past on my clock. So there is a proposed agenda that has been sent out. And then let's go with that unless there are people who would like something else. First item on the agenda is to just describe for the meeting.
So what we look for is quite just a reminder that the call is being recorded.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. I think Martin is excused because he tried last time.
Could pick up the drive selection spreadsheet we had some time ago.
Yeah, please do. Come on, someone. It can be a shared effort. Someone does it for the first time, and someone else takes over.
I'll do it.
So, if you do it for the first part, I can take over when we start to get here.
If we're talking about administrative things, this is Justin. I can try during that part.
I think Tom already took on the driving part for this first part.
Okay.
But thanks for offering. The next item is to approve the minutes of last meeting. And that's the famous December 19th telecon on the scoping. Can we approve the minutes? Do anyone have an objection to approving them? I don't hear any objections. Let's approve them. So the coming items on the call is first to discuss what we use, what we talk about at the May face-to-face meeting, and then discuss the schedule for moving the Web.C1.0 document to the last call. Then Martin has prepared some slides on how we can use the new constraint compromise that was developed by the media capture task force in Web.C1. And then Harald has sent some proposals on privacy and security sections, and we will discuss the one for the Web.C1 documents on this call. And after that, any other business. Okay, so let's move into the face-to-face meeting. I sent out a couple of slides earlier today. Sorry, if you can bring them up, it's only two slides. The first is just a slide. So you move to slide two. That describes the overall schedule, and it's a three-day meeting. And the mornings of each day is reserved for IFS, RTC Web Working Group, and W3C has the afternoons, and then we have decided to use the first afternoon, the Monday afternoon, for the media capture task force. So that's not really so for this meeting, but for Tuesday and Wednesday, we have the Web.C working group. And the chairs have made a straw man proposal, which is in slide three, that we use the Tuesday, which will be roughly 4 hours, I think, or I guess we will have some administrative to discuss. Then we have the doohickey, and I saw Justin, you sent out a proposal just before this meeting. For 1 hour, error handling, 1 hour, and for half an hour. Wednesday, we also probably have some administrative stuff, and then move on to identity to discuss the identity section and its impact on security, and do something on interoperability issues and experiences made by people trying the different implementations available, and finally end by discussing the schedule of moving forward with the Web.C1 document. So this is the Storman proposal, so I would like to hear comments. What have we missed and so on?
Chris Stevens, calling here, just a trivial comment. I might give a little bit more time for doohickey, but I would guess that discussion is going to take longer than that. But because hopefully we, it would be nice to walk out of the meeting with it almost complete.
Yeah, I agree.
This is Edgar. I agree with Colin. I wonder if we can rob some time from admin and maybe some time for staff. My impression with staff was, things just stand to fill time available, but my impression with staff is pretty much done, so maybe we could only just do 15 minutes on staff and do 15 minutes in admin, and then we'd have another half an hour for doing these. Carl, correct me, I'm not trying to take away time you actually need. I just don't want to have scheduled for half an hour and I really only need 10.
Good point.
Well, we actually have a spare hour there on Tuesday, right? We could just add an hour to do hickeys without taking away time from anything.
I can't add an hour.
So, it's a part of one point of that is that
the STATS API seems to be fairly well agreed upon. But the actual stats have not been gone through in detail. And I suspect that we will, and before the meeting, I'll come up with a proposal for I think we'll actually propose to put them in a separate document, but at some point, the working group has to look over each specific stat and say, yeah, this one looks fine.
So I would suggest that is something which is very bad to do in plenary, because everybody tells us to say something with every stat. I strongly suggest that we do this in email and only discuss ones that have had controversy in email in the meeting. And if we don't need to do it before the meeting, I suggest we simply not do it at all.
Okay. That makes sense to me.
Yeah, and that makes sense to me, too. I just want to make sure that the stuff actually makes it into the spec, because we've had like a mess of stats for a while, and in the document, there's only actually a very small number of those things that have been proposed. The one thing, overall, I think this is the right stuff that we need to spend time on. On the error handling, I'd also would like to get an assessment of where we are relative to the error handling we discussed in for GPAC, and what we still think is missing. Like, there's one thing that came up, I think, of how do we deal with term server errors. I was going to make a proposal on that, but I'd be curious to find out what else we need to cover in this 1 hour. And the other thing that I'd really like to see on here is, again, the scope review of what stuff, when do we know we're done, what stuff we need to finish up for 1.0, other than the stuff that we're talking about here.
Yeah, I sort of rephrased the scope to schedule, because last time we discussed scope, it didn't go that well.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Schedule seems like setting ourselves up for failure. I feel like the scope almost needs to be tackled, early on, and because it should drive the action stuff that we discussed during the actual meeting.
I'm tempted to replay the argument they just advanced, that if we need to have only the decisions at the meeting and the discussion has to come beforehand. But we so far tried to do mainly this discussion and tried to do telephone discussion, and we have not done terribly well at that either. I'm not sure what to suggest.
But okay, that was some of the input, and the scoping part of the scheduling part is clearly a difficult one. But we will have to think about that. But this is a proposal for the main topic to discuss, but Harald and I will reach out to individuals to get you to prepare the different sections, because, of course, we can't come into the meeting and discuss them without having a good starting point. So, for example, on the doohickeys, we would need to see what's happening on the email list beforehand. So we basically have the most of the details there and can discuss only the outstanding part and so on. Do you want to fill in something more, Harald, on this?
Yeah, one thing that it would be ideal if we could charge people to not only come up with a proposal the day before the meeting, but actually to drive some mailing list discussion so that we have agreement on what the controversial points are before coming into the meeting.
Should we try to allocate people now, or should we do it offline? What do you think, Colin?
I think that the owners of many of these things should be pretty well, you know, we could just sign it up now rather than have it, you know, drop the ball later.
Yeah, so for Doohickey, what about you, Justin Doohickey?
Yeah, I'll do it.
For error handling, we have actually discussed having that as an effort of a small team. So we have been discussing around perhaps Acre if you could take a stab on that, and then we are
one more person. I briefly tuned out. What am I volunteering to do?
Basically, what we were thinking here is to go through the specification, see where we are with regards to error handling, and hopefully
yes,
most parts are okay. But if there is something outstanding, like what Justin mentioned earlier, to also try a proposal for how to solve that one.
Yes, I'm happy to do that.
Yeah. Great. Good stuff, Harald. I guess that's on you.
Yes, that's on me.
Identity, is that for Edgar or for Martin?
Well, that's why I volunteered to be error handling, so Martin can do identity. So I think he's doing well at carrying this front event line.
Martin, is that okay?
That's perfectly okay with me. Look, we'll work things out. We'll make sure things get done. Don't worry about
perfect.
It.
Perfect. Then for the interoperability issues and experiences, our proposal is that Alexandre Guillard, I don't know if I pronounced that correctly, but take a stand on that. Okay.
Alex will do.
Okay. So, Alex, you haven't been that active on this email list, but you have been very, very active in discussion groups around WebRTC usage and implementations and so on. And you have a lot of experience there.
Yeah, I would be happy to prepare something for the meeting.
Perfect.
Alex, can you say just a few, you know, sort of brief overview of what type of interoperability things you have in mind?
I was more thinking about that, you know, Firefox versus Chrome thing. There are still a few stuff that are biting us. Let me get a view of, you know, the data channel is biting me hard right now, for example. Maybe there are a few things we can do to make things simpler. Some of them are already in the roadmap. Some of them are not. I'm not sure that everybody's aware of all of these. I think we can do a little bit better.
Okay, so let's focus it on things that are a defect in the stack that is causing the implementers to do the wrong thing versus defects in the implementations where they don't match the spec or something, right? Does that make sense?
That's fair.
Okay, that's what I was going to say as well. I mean, certainly if there are places where there are distinctions, where the specification is rolled, I mean, I guess we can start by, like, I think there are three categories, right? The things where the spec is really unclear or problematic. The things where the spec, there are multiple interpretations which need to come down on something, and the things where the implementations are clearly wrong. And I know it's hard to distinguish all three, but, you know, if we can, that'd be great. Because in many cases, you know, if we're just misimplementing, then just tell me or Justin, and we'll get it fixed.
So the first one is when the spec is unclear, and the last one is when the implementation is plain wrong. And what was the middle one?
Well, I mean, sometimes there are cases where, like, you would think the spec where you would think the spec was clear, but then it doesn't. But people interpret it differently, and then you know, that it's, the question is, I mean, my point is that can fall in either category, but we don't know which one it is, right? So I think it's perfectly fine to raise those, but hopefully in the cases where we can quickly come down and figure out whether the spec is misjudging or not, rather than have like an extended argument about it.
Well, I think that if the implementation is just plain wrong, it's more a material for a bug, right? And we shouldn't discuss that at the
agreed. I guess all we're trying to say is it's pretty common to have people, to have two people think that there's an obvious interpretation of the spec and how that interpretation should be different.
True. All right.
Okay. And for the final part, which we might move to make it a bit early in the agenda, the schedule, I guess. Harald, you and me need to discuss that, how to handle it.
Yes. It would perhaps be logical to move the scheduling stuff to the end of Tuesday. I don't want, since this is something that has been shown to be capable of doing it, using a lot of time, I would like to have it in a time-bounded box. But I agree that having a discussion on that and then having a night to sleep on it is probably better than discussing it on Wednesday and then sleeping on it on the plane.
Yeah.
Will there be a proposal out ahead of time, or is this just going to be something we sort of make up on the fly?
There will be a proposal ahead of time. Otherwise, I'll cancel the agenda point.
Okay. Works for me.
Okay. Perhaps we've spent enough of time on the face-to-face part. And next item on this agenda is scheduled and scoping. So we are at it immediately. Tom, do you want me to scribe for a while now?
If you could, that would be great.
Yeah, do you transfer the scribing to me?
Yeah, I'll do that. So this is a timely transition. So as you know, last time we met on the phone was to discuss some ideas as to how this scope will work to be able to declare victory at some point or another. So last week I sent a message trying to understand how and why we should define the boundaries of our work, especially in terms of something that is called the WebRTC 1.0 specification. And I guess my suggestion is that we should basically freeze the set of features that are currently in the spec and focus our energy on finalizing this and move them to last call. And that new features and new proposal should be developed as additional modules on top of the core spec. And so really my message was twofold. So that we do need to get an agreement on a given scope and not just hope for the scope to stabilize itself. This basically hasn't happened, so I see no reason to believe it will. And a straw man proposal as to what such a scope could be, on which I'm, I guess, less invested and will get a more formal proposal from the chair. But I guess I would be interested to hear how people feel about the need and opportunity to actually discuss a scope on which we can focus, or whether we want to keep basically being driven by whatever new features come up. Eka?
Yeah. I could you restate what you're suggesting? because it sounds to me like this is foreshadowing the discussion we're supposed to have in detail.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm trying to do. So rather than foreshadowing it, I'm trying to prepare for it so that we don't come into a war, as I think we did last time. So
Okay, but can you, I guess I'm not sure I understand. If your proposal is that we have some specification which has a frozen feature set, is it your proposal that we have a specification with some as yet to be undetermined frozen feature set, and then future things become new specifications? Is that your proposal?
That's the first part of my proposal, that we agree that there is a set of features that we need to freeze and focus our main energy on so that we can move it to last call sooner rather than later.
Sure. That sounds like an excellent idea, provided that we agree on what those features are.
Yeah, I actually have had some people pushing back on the notion of even putting a feature freeze in place. So I agree that, the question of what needs to be frozen is an important one. And again, I think that would be the logical next step. But before we even attempt to make such a definition, I think we need to get a clear consensus that we do need and want to do this freeze.
Okay. I'm certainly in favor of doing a freeze with some as yet unfinished feature set. However, the set of things that are currently specified is a proper subset of that feature set.
Yes, a proper subset of that is what you said?
Yes, there are things that are in the specification that are not in the specification which I think are important. For instance, doohickeys. Yes.
So all the things that are not doohickeys that are important?
I would have to do a survey specification in order to answer that question. But I guess so. I assume that was the discussion we were having in DC.
So again, I think.
I'm thinking of this conversation as getting input for the proposal that I have promised to be on the table well before DC.
Sure.
On discussing DC.
Sure. I will try to produce a list for you that is longer than the word doohickeys or says it just doohickeys relatively soon.
Thank you.
And if it could be just as short as doohickey, it would be great. Kellen, Sophie?
Well, I mean, on the beginning agreement to at some point freeze the spec, you don't need agreement on that. That is the W3C protest, right? So, I mean, you know, I think what you're asking for here you already have. The question that you really need to be asking is, you know, are we getting close to that point, and can people start making the list of what they think we need to do on this spec to be done? And the way the last conversation was taken was, what can be thrown out of the spec? That is one thing that you can ask, what needs to be thrown out, but I think there needs to be specific proposals of what can be thrown out. And then the other question is what still needs to be added to the spec? And there are definitely things that still need to be added that aren't there at all. So, we can hopefully make some progress towards this, but I still think we're a little bit premature on it. I'm certainly premature for this phone call.
So, you're correct that I think every one of us think will be done someday. I guess the underlying assumption behind my message was indeed that we should be done sooner rather than later, and I think that was fairly strongly supported by what we gathered from application developers earlier in this year. So, I guess part of my motivation for this agenda item on this meeting is that, indeed, when we get to meet in May, we have pretty much a definitive list of things we want to have in 1.0, and I guess I would be personally pushing fairly strongly for keeping it close, or as close as possible, to the current feature that are in. So, to be clear, I've heard many people say that we need doohickeys, and I can very well accept that it is a deep enough modification that it already needs to be in the first version. But
Don, let me push this a little bit farther here, okay? Do you understand that this working group already has consensus to add doohickeys?
Well, adding doohickeys, so again, I'm not sure I even want...
That's a yes or no sort of thing.
No, it's not. I mean, because adding Wiki to the technology is not the same thing as adding it to the main spec, and it's not the same thing as something else. So, again, I have no objection to adding doohickeys. What I'm more worried about is the notion that there might be a dozen more features that need to be added before we declare victory.
Sure. And I agree. I think we need to go and look at and try and figure out what those exist and what they are and stuff. But I mean...
So maybe let me be more specific then. I think the question then becomes, can we agree that we can define the set of features that we need before declaring victory in time for the May face-to-face?
Definitely not. We will not be able to agree to that until we see the list of features. So no, there's no way we can agree. Look, the W3C is not a time-based process.
Colin, you got
to... So we can't agree. Colin,
you didn't get my question right. I was asking, can we agree that we can develop the list of features on which we could agree on? That is, if we come to the main face-to-face, everyone saying, oh yeah, I think that there are probably a dozen more features we could be adding, but nobody has developed the list, we cannot review or discuss such a list. So my question to the group is whether people think they can build a proposed set of features they want to see in 1.0 in time for discussions before the face-to-face, so that we can build a proposal for review and hopefully approval of the face-to-face. So in other words, for people that are adamant that we need more stuff in 1.0, can you commit to provide a proposal of what the features, what the additional features are needed to declare victory?
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm going to prepare a finite list of things that I think we need in 1.0, and basically I just reviewed some of my notes on this. I think doohickeys, stats, handling of turn errors, and that's pretty much it, from my perspective. But I'm listing everything that people have told me they need from apps. I mean, everything that we think we need internally, and it's a few things, mostly doohickeys.
So can we agree on a set of action items for people who would want to make sure their input is taken into account? So I think I had Hector, Cullen, and Justin offering to take such an action item.
There is a lot of stuff that needs to happen on other things before this meeting. I will look into trying to figure out on that list, but there's no way I can commit to trying to make a comprehensive list before then. I mean, I just don't even know how long it's going to take to go through all the stuff.
I mean, I think we've been through a lot of this stuff, though, like the last time, and we polled application developers, and there was a lot of discussion on this. And so I think the data is out there. We just kind of need to bring it back to the top of those inboxes, to have this discussion.
I agree with you, Justin. You're right on that. I just worry about the. I mean, if that was the only thing we need to do before the meeting, no problem. I'm just looking at the list here of an awful lot of things that are happening before the meeting too. So.
But I mean, again, we had that discussion now 5 months ago, and there will always be something else between us and that discussion. So, I mean, I think the May face-to-face is a good opportunity for us to get closure on this. So, I mean, I do understand that there are various things that need to be done, but unless we can decide collectively to put this on top of our to-do list, it will always be something less urgent than something else. So,
I mean, we need to have this discussion, but I'm willing to go and, redig up the things we talked about 5 months ago and kind of, put that data on the table so that nobody else has to go, reread the entire spec.
Thank you for that. That'll be good. I mean, that'll help us get there.
Okay, that sounds like a very good suggestion.
To summarize, I think Harald earlier on took on the action to produce the list. Or?
I took on the action to produce the proposal.
Okay.
And
the input from the people who have volunteered to look over the stack and produce, and their viewpoint will certainly help. Tried this proposal stuff before, and we failed to get agreement on the categories of the inputs. So I would like to have a couple of rounds on the list before the meeting on how we actually describe it.
Okay. I guess that's all to stand there.
Okay. I think we have a set of actions. Some people have promised that to take them. Okay, next agenda point. Market. Use of constrained compromise in WebRTC.
Yeah, I don't know how many people have seen my email that I sent out after the meeting started. Apologies for that. This was really motivated by Joff sending an email on the topic of what doohickeys might look like. And why don't we go through it and see what people think. I'm not sure that I totally agree with it myself, but there are some points that I think are important in here, so we should discuss. Let's go to slide 2. I think that says everything that it needs to say. Basically saying here that we don't really have a particularly high bar of meat. We give a precedent as a basis for designing our APIs. Slide 3. So I went through and had a look at the API as documented in the editor spec, not what anyone's proposed yet. Plus one thing that came up late last year, I think it was, that I don't think ever made it into the spec, and I'm not sure the status of all of that. But essentially, these are the things that we use to control what goes on in peer connection. That is the constructor. We have an RPC configuration. That's primarily sum and turn stuff. There's an identity thing in there that I think should be ripped out. That same thing essentially goes into create offer. That same thing essentially goes into the ICE, update ICE. Yeah. Which again seems primarily for the benefit of ICE. I don't think there's anything else we're using in the constructor or the update ICE for that purpose. The bulk of the parameters, I think, have been added to the constructor for create offer. There's one in create answer, but that, again, is the same one that I think should be ripped out. It's identity place. And I'm not convinced that we may have to keep it, but I haven't thought it through yet. The other control surface we have is changes to SCP between createX and set local. And of course, transit through the network. Section 6 is kind of aspirational. I tried looking at JSEP and there's a whole section missing on how you deal with all of the SCP that comes in. So there's no certainty, but there's a bunch of things in there that look, you know, that we've had a lot of discussion about and seem pretty good. And then ultimately, recently there's been discussion of what's being passed into AdStream, and we've been talking about adding arguments to AdStream for the purposes of doing the things that the doohickeys were being discussed for, and then there's the state of the streams itself. Adam Roach had a proposal that I was talking about last year about the state of the media stream track, so its ID, whether it's muted, whether it's enabled, all that sort of thing, contributing to what actually gets generated in the SCP. So those are, I think, the things that we have currently in order to control what goes on in peer connections. And that's it. What we're talking about here is the, on slide 4, the doohickamajiggities or whatever they're called. And I think we've largely sort of gravitated towards something like RTP sender receiver or something along those lines, RTP sender or something like that as in Justin's proposal. And that provides track-specific control service. So it's more granular, it's easy to do all the tricky things that we're talking about. And I think sort of the first use case that, that sort of triggered the creation of these was signaling the difference between the different send-only, receive-only, and active parameters. Distinguishing between your and hold from, you know, I don't want a stream, period. And of course it opens up all the other possibilities that we're talking about. Bandwidth control, transport placement, and there I talk about bundling and RTC being multiplex, and then we get into things that are nasty like simulcast, layering, controlling what CNAME's allocated to things, and then also using this as a basis for statistics and getting some state back. Both of the proposals that I saw were getting ICE state from these things as well. So, API options, slide 5. So, GUM has a couple of features that we don't actually have currently on peer connection. Most of the control surfaces we have don't really provide you any ability to discover what's possible currently on peer connection. And we also don't have any way to discover what's actually being done at the current time. Where the control surface says, I would like you to do X, we don't necessarily have a way to know that the X is actually occurring. And my point here is that we probably do need to build those features as it makes sense to do so. Obviously, offices receive video is something that you can sort of work out from the fact that you're getting video or not, whether or not it's working, but some of these other things we probably need to examine. This probably goes to the list of things that we were talking about earlier that we need to identify and find out what we need to add. Slide 6.
Before we go on here, I just want to be very careful to differentiate a comment 22 issue here, basically, right? Which is the original. So one of the things doohickeys do is a given media stream track can be added to multiple peer connections, and a doohickey is one-to-one to a given peer connection, so you're controlling the SDP to do with that particular peer condition, even though that track might get different SDP in a, or different settings in a different peer connection, right?
Right. That's one of the properties that sort of motivated the creation of them in the first place, yes.
Yes, right. And then I think the other thing, though, when we start talking about in finding out what, and the phrasing of this of what the capabilities are and telling it what to do. Sure, I agree with that at some level, at the broad level when you say that, but we need to be careful here that what you're providing it in what you want to do is, you know, constraints on the envelope of what's going to get negotiated at the far end, because this is not a unilateral decision. This involves negotiation with something at the far end. So we can't lose that negotiation concept, right?
Fair point. And this is probably due to the fact that I did this in 15 minutes, so...
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, well, I'm making sense. Like, as long as we love it, I think we're on the same page.
Yeah.
So.
I think we're right there. I think that's probably a very valuable thing to keep in mind as we go through this one, because I'm about to talk about the drawbacks to the strengths as I see them. This is the you ain't gonna need it part, which is where you have multiple actors applying constraints, and I think this is where Cullen will take objection to this and say, well, there are multiple actors, there's the guy on the other end and his browser. And maybe this is a good reason that we actually want these features from constraints.
One of the primary use cases of constraints was to have the ability to have multiple different actors within the browser say, I would like access to a camera, and give them all access to the camera in some sort of mediated way, so the browser sort of works out what settings on that camera work for everyone, and they sort of get the common intersection of their needs. Whether that works or not is something that I haven't actually seen someone prove yet, but that's the theory anyway. And then there's the ability to simply allow the browser to choose from a range of acceptable options, which I think is something that's quite valuable for something like bandwidth control. The browser needs some latitude here in setting the bandwidth that a particular stream consumes, because it needs to respond to congestion situations and all those sorts of things. And having one fixed value is not going to work very well. Then there's some basic web platform things that I think constraints suffer from. The usual feature detection mechanisms don't work. You have to use a special one. And all this flexibility in the browser means that you have to kind of rely on the status feedback mechanisms that are provided to work out what's actually going on. You can't just say, do X, and X happens. You have to say, oh, I'd like to do whatever. So, on what we're talking about here, with constraints, slide 7 sort of shows where you work out whether the sending option is enabled or not. I'm not sure that this is a great example, because I think we want to make sure that everyone can disable sending. So this would kind of be a mandatory to implement thing anyway. Testing that it's present doesn't make a lot of sense. And then you apply constraints saying, I'd like you to send this one, please. And you can test that the constraint is present by getting the constraints and making sure that the value of that particular constraint is, at the current time, the value that you expect it to be. And then without constraints, it's a whole lot simpler. Again, testing might not make a lot of sense, but you just have a property that you test true if you want to send. And if you test whether it's sending, like testing the value of the property, and it won't have changed without your permission in this case. So slide 9, and I apologize to the chairs, this is a different slide deck than the one I'm showing. This is the things that will probably need something along the lines of constraints or ranges of values in order to get to work, and that is things like resolution, frame rate, bandwidth, and as we get down into things like simulcast and layering, some of those things may need controls of that nature to give the browser some leeway in choosing what it does in the sending in particular, in order to get things to work within the bandwidth envelope that it has. And things like the advanced collection, or whatever you want to call it, which is a terrible name, by the way. Independent settings. So you can say, I will do this resolution, but only if I can get this frame rate, and so on and so forth. And so the last slide is just a bunch of things that I don't know how to do. That's me done. Discuss. I think I see Tim on the line.
Oh, I see Fluffy in the queue before me.
I was there from earlier, but I went to re-add myself. So look, these make sense, Martin. And like what you say about like sending or not sending, I mean, that's why we have unmute and mute and things like that as direct controls, right, versus a constraint type of thing. But when we start talking about resolution, I think that's a great example of something the browser needs control of. So if you're using software encoders on a PC with lots of them, yeah, sure, you can encode at multiple resolutions, no problem. But if you have one hardware encoder being shared in the same way that the camera is shared across multiple things and across multiple peer connections, you might only be able to encode one resolution at a time, or at least one high resolution one. And I think that we need to, I think that that's why we got to this fairly flexible type of mechanism where you're trying to tell the browser, here's what I'd want, but, you know, here's the outer bounds where, you know, stop doing it all together if you can't find fall within at least this size. And, you know, we had the issues about how aspect ratio, it's really resolution plus aspect ratio, those two things combined together that make it harder. And I think that all the things that led us and get user media to where we ended up are nearly identical here.
Yeah, the more I think about that, the more that I start to think that we probably do need something along those lines, and yeah, I'm starting to come to the conclusion myself. Even though I had the violent reaction to Suha's proposing constraints, I think the violent reaction was to how little detail there was for some of the things that I know to be hard, like layering.
And I think bandwidth is actually an easy one. If we just always called it max bandwidth instead of bandwidth, it's a lot more like the mute than anything else. But
that's actually an interesting one, because we continually get people asking the question, how do I set the minimum bandwidth? And I think some of those questions come out largely out of ignorance, but there's also this idea that if I'm not getting this many bits, then it's obviously not good enough. I'm going to use it as a proxy for other things, of course, but, yeah. We keep getting that question, so maybe that has a range as well.
So I'm being told by people that they have settings for min bandwidth, but the only sensible way, semantics of min bandwidth I can see is, if I can't get this, if congestion control tells me that I'm below this bandwidth, throw an error and stop sending. So
I think I'm going to take my cue place now. I think the other thing that when we first discussed constraints a very long time ago, one of the things that we were trying to do was to express them in terms of aspirations. So what it was that the web developer was trying to achieve rather than the mechanism they were using to achieve it. And it's a subtle distinction, but you know, if what they were trying to do was is emphasize the fine quality of the image, then that should be what they're expressing, or the speed of the movement or whatever. You what we were trying to do was to say that those things were what we would present and let the browser make the best decision it could based on that information. We frequently fail to make a sensible list, and at which point I think your horror kicks in and I understand where we got to. But I think trying to express their aspirations would be a nice way to handle it, and then you might not get into the, you know, the hard max bandwidth numbers. That might not be where you ended up if you try to express them in terms of, you know, what it was that people were trying to get out of the application.
There was certainly a case for having a hard cap on bandwidth, particularly when you've got relays involved, and the guy owning the relay wants to specifically say, look, I'm not going to let you have 50 megabits through this relay. Those sort of things can be hard, but otherwise, yeah, I think that's right. Most of the other constraints are exactly what you're looking for in terms of control. I want, you know, higher frame rates or higher resolutions or whatever.
Oh yeah, hi, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, so I agree with Martin's list of the costs of constraints. I think he left one out, which was constraints were built in a situation where We also have to deal with permissions. And it was important to get a full description of what the developer needed done in a single call so that that could be lobbed over and would cause a permission prompt potentially if everything was agreed on. And if you don't have that challenge, if you don't have a permission prompt, which I don't believe we have in this case, I think others like Rock have pointed out, it's much simpler to have a function interface where you try something and you get an error back, and you try a different thing and you get an error back. And there's no need to collapse all these rules into a giant recipe or order that has to be sent over. So I think that's another complexity with constraints that isn't always needed. And for instance, and also people brought up ranges, I think it's very easy to have ranges, but you don't need constraints to find ranges, certainly. That's just a min and a max in a nested dictionary. So, I'm a little, I would think that the approach that we should take is, I feel like we're going on a mission and someone's saying, well, we definitely need a jetpack for this mission. And I would like to know, I think we should start simpler and see if we can do this just with settings. And if that approach is shown, can be shown to fail, then we should consider picking up the jetpack. But I don't feel like, maybe you guys are all ahead of me here, but it doesn't feel to me like we've tried the simple way here. That's my point. That's my comment.
All right, I guess I'm next. So I agree with Yanivar. I feel like we've been backing away on almost every front from constraints just because of the inability to really simply express what you want to do and just the complexity that it pushes down to the implementation to try to figure out, well, how do I really figure out what I need to do, you know, given what's been expressed in this kind of general form? And I think in almost every case, you know, with only a couple of exceptions, you know, the application can really express what it wants directly because we don't have this limitation of, well, you need to do it all in one shot because of the permission prompt, or you can't query the actual parameters. I think that, you know, if you say encode at bitrate X, and for some reason bitrate X is unsatisfiable, you know, we can, you know, return an error and the application can do something different. And I think in most cases, the application will just say, well, don't use any more than X, or, you know, don't bother sending the stream at all if it's, you know, less than Y. And those are things that often can be expressed concretely without having to have a complex kind of sequence of trade parameters. So I'm very strongly of the opinion that if we can express things with simple syntax that a direct API involves, we should definitely do so and not try to buy the jetpack unless we absolutely need it.
Okay. I think I'm next.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think there are two questions. One is about one is about whether it's constraints, and the other is whether we're expected to set individual properties exclusively with no way to set properties in bulk. I don't care about the API server question of saying properties in bulk, but when I look at the way that say Video Engine actually lets you configure stuff, it seems to want you to configure a whole set of properties at once, and it's not clear to me that the properties are actually the sensible thing about configuring the properties independently, given the underlying settings of the technology we're working with. So I guess I'm concerned about Fluffy's issue where he says, look, you know, the video coder can do the following things, but it can't do the cross product of every possible thing that you might ask for. And what is that going to do to our coding interface if, you know, I say, well, I want to set the following bandwidth, and then, oh, I want the following frame rate. You can't have those two together, but now you don't know which one, how wide you can flex. So, we're going to have to, I'm willing to have an independent settings design, but we're going to be really careful about having things that are not, in fact, independent set together. I mean, like min and max frame rate, min and max bandwidth are like good examples. Like, you know, so what? Can I, what happens when I try to set the max bandwidth and the min bandwidth, and like the min is bigger than the max?
That wouldn't be possible.
It wouldn't be possible. Well, it wouldn't be possible. Well, can everyone get that?
You would set the value to a range.
Oh, okay. But that's my point. My point is that now you're taking two bit settings, which previously were independent, and combine them, though, right? And so the question is, which things are really independent, which things aren't?
I mean, if you set something to a modified inconsistent state, you should get an error. Like, that seems fairly obvious.
Sure, but like I say, you know, frame rate on hardware codecs, frame rate and bandwidth and are not independent properties, right? And frame size are not independent properties.
Sure.
I guess maybe it's on me to go take a look and see and look at all these properties and see if I think and see which ones I think can send independently. Because I'm certainly sympathetic to the idea that you shouldn't be required to produce profiles. I just want to make sure that like we're not making a programming interface that like that actually requires the user to have like a lot more sensitivity to what the underlying technology can do than he wishes to have. I mean, part of the point of constraints expresses wishes is to let the browser worry about what can and can't be done. And so the more you sort of directly control stuff, the more you sort of get into the mode of having to really know what the device can do. But like I say, I realize it's a pretty vague sounding complaint, so I'll go back and take a look and see if this is really an issue.
Thank you. Brandon, you're next.
Hi. I share some of Ecker's concerns about this, particularly if it makes it hard to then figure out what do I do when I get an error when I set a whole bunch of things together, to figure out, you know, what sort of thing did I violate, basically allowing the underlying thing to come as close as it can to what it believes you requested has a bunch of advantages in terms of simplicity of use. But Ecker should go and take a look and see, and we should then discuss that. I realize it's handier to be able to set everything at once when you can. On an earlier thing, Harold was saying that the only thing that's reasonable to do when the bandwidth, when you don't have enough bandwidth, is to simply stop sending. That may not be the only thing that's reasonable to do. An application that's aware of things may simply, another stream. If it's sending an alternate stream, may change the resolution of a screen share, or drop a screen share, or all sorts of other things that it might do in a complex application. So it's not, it's not that there's only one thing that's reasonable to do when you drop below some key bandwidth. Now, the downside of that is trying to figure out, is it actually a bandwidth that you're going below that's the problem, or is it dropping below some particular quality level? And that's a separate issue. It's much easier to key off of something like bandwidth than a quality level. That's it.
Okay. Thanks. Harald, you're next.
Yep. Okay. So I get a certain deja vu from 2 years ago, I think, when we had more or less exactly the same discussion. And the big argument then was that there are, when you want to change the state of something, like changing the frame rate, the width and the height and the aspect ratio. You basically have to change everything at once because setting things one at a time drives you through a number of intermediate states that either may not be possible or may make no sense at all. So at that time, the argument was that we should have a uniform way of saying, okay, let me set these 15 variables and then see if I can use them together. What I'm afraid of is that we instead of having distinct controls that we can set one at a time that look very nice, we expose 100 knobs and then have to define an ad hoc method to say, okay, now you can try. Now I finished tweeting knobs. Now you can try the set of settings. And then discover that it worked or didn't work. And then have ad hoc rules for okay, what do we do in this case when these two things cannot be done at once? So my thought about constraints was that it was a reasonable method for saying, I have a number of properties that may or may not interfere with each other. I have certain desires for the values of those properties. Tell me what you can do. And the reason, Jan Ivar, was not primarily the permissions prompt. The reason I saw at that point, 2 years ago, was primarily the need to avoid running through all this intermediate microstates that don't make sense, or making ad hoc mechanisms to say, okay, now I'm twiddling knobs, now I'm finished twiddling. Clear enough?
Okay, Callum, you're next.
So I do think that the resolution plus aspect ratio plus frame rate one is one of the ones that every time we've discussed this has always been a hard one. It's a good example to keep in mind. I think it drives much of the rest. And I agree we don't want a mechanism that's any more complicated than we need. But I disagree on there's no permission prompt here, actually. Because what this does, it's not like you can just ask this thing as quick as you can and try different changes. Because what happens here is this, what you set on this and however you deal with it, what you do with a doohickey changes what offer will be created. And that offer is sent to the far side where it will often create a permission prompt on what happens on the far end in trying to set up the video back to this side. And then you'll get an answer back here, which is again merged in with whatever happened to doohickeys. And you know, that's a long process involving a human to decide whether one of your given changes worked or not. And, you know, I think that that's really a large part of what drove this. And, you know, I mean, you might say, I want HD, and the other side says, I can only take up to SD. And constraints was a very good way of knowing how we combine those and have the application be willing to say whether it preferred HD but was willing to take SD or whether, no, this application didn't work if you couldn't get at least HD. And, you know, it's the fact that we're repeating the conversation, the point that I tried to make the same here is, you know, if you think we don't need constraints here, I can't possibly see why you think we didn't need constraints in Git User Media. I mean, it's the same argument and the same mechanism driving it in both places. And this, again, is a shared context. When, you know, what's happening here on this one peer connection, whether the actual machine has the capabilities and resource reservations to make that or not, is a cross machine thing, and it impacts what's happening on the same track going out on other peer connections. So it's not like this is completely independent because we're talking about reserving real resources, and that's why Jeff has largely praised in terms of reserving resources. But does that make sense of like why I think that this isn't a just you can try anything and see what works and just keep changing it and that's going to have an all right user experience? This question is open to you know anyone that's on the call or has been fit to answer because it doesn't make sense what I'm saying. I need to explain it better.
Well, then I'll jump in and say I think it makes sense. And if we have 100 different knobs shared, would it be 100 STP offer answers for every knob you touch? And we get away from that as well. But now I answer Q and left over to Martin.
Yeah, so what actually kind of, so Yanagar pointed out that there was that sort of commitment with Git User Media. When you make the call, you commit because you get the user's permission prompt coming up. And that same sort of commitment comes with RTC peer connection in the same way, because you essentially have this opaque blob of SCP that comes out, and you don't really know what's going to happen until such time as you send it to the other guy. And that's really what kind of tipped me from being pretty ambivalent about the idea of using constraints here to actually thinking that it's probably on balance the best thing to do, even though it still sucks, but, you know, the whole thing sucks. The bar's been set pretty low, like I said, so I think I'm happy to proceed with the idea that we have constraints for the things that constraints make sense for. I think the idea that we're sending or not sending using constraints doesn't make sense there. Anything that needs to be concrete like that, I think we don't want to use constraints for. But otherwise, these things that need to be negotiated, these things that need to have, we need to give the browser a degree of flexibility in both negotiation and at runtime. And I think given the codependent nature of all of these things, constraints is the best thing we have at the moment. That's all I have to say.
Okay, yeah, on Eva, and then I think we need to close the queue, because we have one item left after Hector. So on Eva.
Okay, I certainly see the point to have the ability to set, I mean, constraints don't have a monopoly on setting multiple settings at once. I mean, dictionaries do that. You can have a dictionary of settings, and you can give those in a method, and then you set multiple settings at the same time. And I worry that people's perception of what, I worry constraints mean different things for different people, because the concept has grown substantially over the last, at least last year. And Colin, was your argument that the other, just thinking more about if the person on the other side is truly a separate actor that marries mediation in a way, because are we still going to need over-constrained events? Are we going to need all these things? And since it sounds like we're unsure, at least.
No, we're absolutely sure we need all of those things. I don't think there's any unsureness at all in any of this.
I wish I shared your... one way to prove that, then, would be, why don't we try it both ways as an experiment and see... I think, given the controversy over constraints, I think it would be a victory for constraints if there was a separate use case that arrived at actually needing it, rather than a lot of us saying, let's use it up front, whether we know we need it or not.
Well, I mean, did my resolution use case make sense to you?
Well, I'm not sure that we need to burden the API with an entire optional array of dictionaries, which is an and/or sequence of things, in order to specify degree dependency between frame rate, bandwidth, and aspect. No, I don't see that yet. But
Say the proposal of what you think you should do to the list, and I'll explain why it doesn't work. We can go from there.
Well, my idea was that why don't we look at it both ways, and we can compare.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm not even sure that we need, anything more than saying, okay, well, say, what happens when you don't have the compute to set a given resolution? Well, you need to do one of two things. You need to either, cut down on the resolution, or you need to, reduce the frame rate. And that can be expressed very simply without having to take on the entire constraint syntax. And so now, let's look at what else do we need constraints for? I had a hard time coming up with other examples. Like, the things we really talked about caring about back in November was being able to send or not send, the things like bitrate or priority. And those are the things that all don't require constraints. So the stuff that has actually been articulated that we actually need isn't constraints. And this one thing that's been mentioned now, I think it actually be, dealt with a different sort of mechanism of just saying, well, if I don't have enough, should I fall back to another solution or fall back on frame rate? And I'll be willing to make a proposal for that. So I would rather sort of fall on ourselves saying, well, we tried the other thing and it didn't work out. We do, we're going to go embrace the whole constraint stuff rather than saying, well, we think there might be one thing, so let's go and tackle constraints right now because we're definitely going to use it.
So, to Yanni Bar's suggestion, it seems to me we actually have two proposals, one with constraints and one without, provided to us kindly by Justin and Suha. So,
not all right.
Okay.
Justin's proposal doesn't need constraints because it doesn't actually include any of the features we're talking about.
Oh, fair enough.
Suha's proposal proposes everything through constraints, which I mean, at least Martin and I aren't on board with everything should be done with constraints.
The trap we should not fall into is by saying we use constraints, we just save ourselves a lot of definition problems of what we actually need. That's what I'm worried about.
I don't think anyone's there yet, Yaniva. I think you're safe.
I don't actually have any concerns, but all right. Well, I guess saying that you need a jetpack doesn't mean, we need it. I mean, there should be arguments for why you need a jetpack and why other alternatives that don't include swing.
I feel like Collins has offered you an argument, which you may or may not accept, but, like, there's only having arguments for why you need that. I don't think Collins said we need constraints. Collins said, I believe the following use case cannot be covered by constraints. So I think really one needs to engage in that. I mean, either one can say, well, I don't think that's important enough, or I can do it without constraints. But he didn't say that you could just, I just need constraints.
Well, what I would like is if we came up with if we started from scratch as an experiment, specifically for this, not use some constraints, come up with our own concept, call it something else, and if, and only if, it exactly matches some constraints, then consider using the same. Otherwise, have a discussion about how different are they, and because this, as an implementer of constraints, I see a lot of the downsides of having to deal with the requirements of constraints that are bigger out of GUM, and it's not given to me that those same costs are worth it in every API.
So
specifically,
how do you
these constraints around?
Things have both constraints set on the media stream and something else set somewhere else? I mean, I worry that will be very complicated to do. So I understand what you're saying, but I think what you're really asking for us here is to reconsider whether the constraint design is right and then replace it in both GUM and in WebRTC. Right?
I don't see why. I don't see the similarity either. These are two distinct APIs, and I haven't seen enough. Just like Justin said, I don't think we've seen enough success in other areas to believe that we have a panacea for a group of problems here.
Wait a second. We're talking about, let's take the specific resolution use case then, right? When combined with dealing with it on hardware encoders, so resolution plus aspect line, because it's a great one to drive it. And I'm not claiming that everything needs to be done with constraints. I'm just saying that this is a very straightforward use case that we've been discussing for several years. And really what you are saying is, I wish that use case doesn't exist. That's always what you come down to. Here's a way of solving
it. Hold on. Let me clarify.
The speaker queue closed some time ago. Coming up on the end of the call.
Excuse me. Someone here said, made claims about what I said. It's not true that I'm pushing to remove constraints from GUM. That is not true.
Right.
So I just want to encourage people to stop to finish their sentence.
So wait, there are two things we can imagine today, right? One is we don't need a bulk, a mechanism for expressing opinions that is not directly a settings mechanism, of which constraints is one example. And you say, well, we're just going to do just direct settings, and we don't need a way to ask the browser to resolve any complex. And I think Justin's saying that. That's a totally reasonable thing to say, right? And the other thing you could say is, we need some method for the browser to resolve conflicts, but we don't think constraints is a mechanism. And I think that's crazy talk. Like, we already designed one thing to do that, and let's not design another. So, if the position is we don't need the browser to resolve conflicts, then great. If your position is the browser has no conflict between expressions of other syntax is not constrained, like that just seems like reinvention. Something we already wasted like way special.
Well, over the last year, I've heard constraints being misapplied in very simple cases. We've brought them back, and the truth has been that it wasn't needed. So excuse me for being concerned that people are over-applying a concept here.
I understand, but you're saying you don't need the browser to resolve conflict or not?
Between...
Okay, let's take it to the list, folks. It's clear that we don't have consensus here.
Sure.
Okay, we have one piece of agenda left, which I hope is a little less controversial. That is the privacy and security sections in a draft. I sent out two proposals for... I sent out the proposals for the WebRTC document. There's also one in Media Capture, but that's not for this call. Have people taken a look at the at the section?
I wish it did exist, but I haven't read it.
Okay. No, and I haven't read it either. I mean, I casually glanced at it and thought there was issues, and they weren't issues, so I need to go read it carefully.
Yeah. So, the thing is, it's either good enough that we should put it in a draft and so that everyone sees it, or it's not good enough to put it in a draft, and I'd like to have a sense of the group one way or the other before it's time to ship the next version of the draft. So, I think we can just encourage people to please take a look, then comment to the list. I think that's all I need to say.
Okay. So, I guess we are up to any other business. With 5 minutes to go. I hear no one bringing anything up, really. The summary of the actions I noted. Harald promised to produce a scope list with help from people supplying data. Etio is going to prepare the error handling discussion for the face-to-face part of the distress discussion. Martin, identity. Alex, the interop stuff. And Justin, do history. And that's what I noted.
And we also had some people promising to do the stuff with around constraints. I think Justin, Kellen promised to show one use case he didn't think could be satisfied with only headings.
Well,
I don't remember saying that, but okay.
So how do we want to deal with this versus doohickeys? Should we focus on getting the core doohickey stuff in place and then try to understand what, you know, for the more parameters we might want to add in the future, whether it should be done via constraints or settings, or do we people feel that this is so intertwined that we have to resolve it as part of doing?
There is none of things with doohickeys that are not dependent on constraints. I would suggest they should get those into place first.
Okay.
Problem.
I mean, I think that the resolution aspect ratio thing needs to be dealt with for doohickeys. I carefully phrase that to not presume that constraints is the solution or anything, but like that part of it needs to be dealt with. I mean, that seems to be the key part of it to me, so.
Okay.
Okay. I guess we're done for today.
Thank you all for showing up.
Yeah, thanks a lot. And thanks, Tom, for driving.
Yeah, thanks.
Bye, everyone.
Bye for now.